this lesson, we have learned that the law of causality, which states that every material effect must have an adequate antecedent cause, supports the creation model and not the evolution model.
God is the adequate antecedent cause of the universe. If you remember, the law of causality or the law of cause and effect is something that scientists support wholeheartedly. We began by showing, or I noticed, or I gave the example of the book sitting here on the table. If I have a book sitting here and I leave the room and it comes back and it lands on the floor, and I see kids playing around here, I can assume that maybe the kids knocked it off because they are an adequate antecedent cause. On the other hand, if I see an ant crawling across the table, I know the ant didn't do it because it doesn't have that power, doesn't have that ability. So when we talk about the beginning of the universe, what caused it? Evolutionists really don't have an answer. They have the Big Bang Theory, which even most evolutionists have kind of discredited now. But they know that something existed, but what existed and how did it get here in the first place? So they have no adequate antecedent cause. Creationists do. God. We also in this lesson learned that the law of biogenesis, which states that all life comes only from preceding life of its own type or kind, supports the creation model and not the evolution model. Remember, God created everything to reproduce after its own kind. It's what he mentions over and over again in the first couple of chapters of Genesis. And even scientists know that this law is true. We talked about the fact that some people in times past thought of some life forms began by spontaneous combustion. But that's been proven false. And all scientists know that life does not come from nothing. And yet, that's what they tell us happened at the beginning. That's the only explanation they have for evolution. That somehow life came from nothing. In this lesson, we also learned that the law of probability, which states the total probability of an outcome, or the odds of something happening, which can be realized via several distinct events, supports the creation model and not the evolution model. We noted that Burrell's law of probability states that one in 50 zeros followed by 50 zeros, if anything greater than that, is impossible. But yet even scientists themselves, they gave numbers such as the smallest organism, the chances of it happening is one in 340 million. And then life on a different planet was 1 in 2 billion. So both of those numbers are larger than 1 in 50 zeros. So the law of probability, evolution, is impossible. In this lesson, we also learned that the fossil record, which shows a sudden explosion of plant and animal life that is fully formed, a mixture of life forms and different layers of rock formations, and the absence of transitional forms, supports the creation model and not the evolution model. Evolutionists, as we talked about, say that since life began millions or billions of years ago, there should be step by step in the fossil record of the life forms, the missing links, as it were. The missing links aren't there. They're missing. But yet they still believe in evolution and still support evolution. Yet the creation model says what? God created everything, full grown, and that's what we see. We don't see the transitional form because there weren't any. What has been presented in this lesson is but a fraction of the scientific evidence that could be presented to show that creation model is better than the evolution model. When we look at the evidence, we see that in this lesson we have used scientific facts and not the Bible to show this to be true. As I said, in our last lesson, we talked about the biblical case for creation. We looked at the Bible. We showed that the Bible is true. It can be trusted. One of the things we looked at is prophecy. Who can foretell the future except God? And there's lots of prophecy in the Bible. Lots of details concerning the life of Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection. The Bible is true, and God said he created everything. So those of us who believe in the Bible really don't have a lot of problems with that. But we were sitting in the fellowship room. I can't remember if it was the birthday and anniversary or one of the potlucks, but David and I was talking, and David says, the evidence that you present as far as the Bible is good. But what about people who really don't believe the Bible? What can be said that would maybe help them to see that creation is true? Well, that's what we try to do in this lesson. We have presented scientific facts that support creation. Since the evidence for this lesson is not being taken directly from the Bible, wouldn't it be great if our public schools would present this evidence along with the teaching of evolution and let the students decide for themselves which is true? Creation or evolution? It's not a Bible class in the sense that we're teaching the Bible. We're looking at scientific facts, scientific laws, laws that are taught in our biology and science classes in school. But that will not happen, because evolutionists are afraid that if the evidence of evolution is put side by side with the evidence of creation, most students would quit believing the theory of evolution and would start believing in what the Bible plainly says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the end of lesson 4. Any questions, comments?
I never had really thought about the fossil train from the beginning. That was new life for me. I just hadn't tied the transitional deal that the evolutionist claimed didn't happen, that it did have to run through evolution. But I woke me up just a little bit. I had followed your lessons all the way along, and I thought, yeah, there'll be a fossil trail of that will prove that every animal was biogenetically came from the former one, rather than be transitioned. Maybe didn't have arms in this period, and maybe legs, not legs in that period, or maybe dropped this off or got that. So fossil would prove that if they had fossils.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
The evolutionist, when your archaeologists started finding dinosaur bones and all of this, that really they didn't want to accept that, because that was not according to evolution. Cool. And then when they found fossil evidence that there was a footprint of a dinosaur and a footprint of a man, and this had to be before the flood. And that didn't go well either. And they don't like that.
Yeah, we'll talk a little more about dinosaurs. We got, I think, lesson number 10 is dinosaurs. We'll talk about the dinosaurs. But yeah, it kind of, there's some of the fossil evidence throws them for a loop, and of course, anything that throws them for a loop, they just ignore. They don't pay attention to it. But yet, fossil evidence, if you look at it objectively, then it follows the creation model and not the evolution model. Yes?
Evolutionists, if you listen to them, they talk about the Earth being 135 billion years old, or however many billion they want to number it. You ask them where they get the figure, and they'll talk to you about carbon dating and things of this nature. And you ask them how accurate carbon dating is, and they will tell you that carbon dating is accurate, close to accurate, back about 6,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So everything past that, just a guess.
Yes. And so they guess in their favor. They guess that it's millions or billions of years old. Yeah. Yes?
Speaking of carbon dating, I used to work with an old boy that he and his boys would hunt arrowheads and Indian artifacts, or we call them Indians, they're Native Americans. And he got interested, the boys outgrew it, but he stayed interested in it, and he learned how to make arrowheads the way they made it, chipped them. He had been sending them off to the University of Tennessee, the University of Kentucky, to get dated, and for them to tell him what tribe and what year they were alive on the earth. And then he sent some of the ones that he made, and they carbon dated his and told him how many years old they were. And so that's about as accurate as carbon dating is. They can carbon date the rock, but God made the rock. And there was one guy that said, well, we have learned how to create life from dust. And this one guy says, okay, but did you use your own dust?
Yeah, always back to the beginning. Dave, you have something?
Why do the evolutionists have so much influence into what is taught in our schools?
Because they lost that debate.
Yeah, the Scopes monkey trial had a big influence on that. And we're going to talk about that later, too.
A lot of the contents of what is put in the books is the decision made for the Department of Education.
Do what now?
Right. Agenda.
Yeah. After the Scopes monkey trial back in, I think it was the 30s, things began to change a little bit. Even though, I guess in a sense, creationism won during that trial, it changed a lot of people's minds. They began to look at things a little bit different. And like I said, we'll look at that in one of the other lessons. I've got that. We'll be talking about that. But yeah, people's attitude began to change as far as evolution and creation back around the turn of the century. And part of it, of course, as we've talked about, is Darwin's book. And then people began to move away from God's word. At one time, scientists, you look at Isaac Newton, a lot of these guys, they believed that God created everything. They believed in a young earth. They believed in the flood of Noah. Hasn't been probably in the last couple hundred years when scientists began to go away from that and look at it as a fable and fallacies and myths. And so there's got to be another way to explain what we're seeing. Yes, Joe?
You know, Darwin was contracted by the British government to list the origins of all species that he could identify. And that's what he did, and then they took that and created evolution from it. And the last part of his book, he himself said that this is just speculation.
Yeah, we've
he didn't believe it himself.
Yeah, and we've quoted some of what he says. Part of the fossil record is the fact that he says that, according to my theory of evolution, there should be abundance of these transitional forms. I mean, if evolution's true, it should have started from one little cell to what the humans, and there should be a record of step by step by step. But he even noted that the evidence isn't there, but he just thought that we just hadn't looked hard enough yet. But since 1859, we've been looking, and they still haven't found any. They've tried to present some as evidence, as missing links, but most of those have been proven wrong. And when they look at something, they're not looking at a complete fossil. Generally, they take a tooth They may take a fraction of a skull or something, and they piece it all together. And as we noted, we talked about the circular reasoning that evolutionists use. They've already got their mind made up on how things were laid out. The things started from simple and became more complex, old to the youngest. And so when they see a fossil, they put it in that layer where they want it to be, and then they make their theory come alive by the fossil evidence that they find, because they're making it fit. They're just plugging it in to make it fit. They're not looking at the evidence as a whole, factual, without any bias. They're making the fossils fit their theory. Joe.
Interesting enough, too, I read a book by Brother Bowles, and he was talking about Clarence Darwin, that was the defender of evolution. Mm-hmm. And 3 years before that trial, he was a fantastic orator and a good, I guess if there's a good lawyer, he was a good lawyer. But 3 years before that trial, and the reason they picked him was they were already teaching this in colleges. And one of the Sears heirs, young man, and another guy, they decided that if evolution was right and it was the superiority of the species that had the authority to kill the lesser of the species, and they killed a boy, and he got him off on the theory of evolution. That they were taught that they were superior to this lesser student, and so they killed him.
Well, one of the things that evolution have a problem with is, Darwin, survival of the fittest. The strongest are going to survive. As humans, we don't live our life that way. We have a moral code. So where did that come from? Animals don't have that code. Out in the wild, it is survival of the fittest. It's the strongest survive. The lions go out and get a herd of antelope. What do? They don't go after the strongest one. They go after the weakest one. But as humans, aside from a few idiots that we've had recently, it seems like, we support one another. We look and value human life. So where did that morality come from? Why do we have it and nobody else has?
Because we were created in His image.
Go back to the creationist point of view. We are created in the image of God. That's where it come from. It didn't evolve. Created.
Being more advanced to me is the strongest evidence against evolution.
What is?
Us being more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we are way above the animals. There's lots of people today that want to put us on the same level as animals, or they want to put the animals on the same level as us, however you want to look at it, bring them up or bring us down. There are even groups that are trying to get, like apes, recognized with the same rights as we've got. And you may think that's funny, but it's happening. But that's how they look at it. We're just nothing more than an animal. So why should we have power over these other animals? Warped sense of thinking, but that's what happens when you forget about God and just believe in evolution. You get a warped sense of what humanity is. So we've been looking, as I said, at scientific evidence for creation. And all these laws that we've looked at all support creation. They don't support evolution.